To understand why most Boston City employees are required to live in the city, we'll have to take a quick jaunt in the Wayback Machine. Ah, the 70s. The era of loud prints, high gas prices, and urban flight.
Across America, cities saw enormous exodus of middle-class people.
That's Lawrence DeCara, an attorney who was a city councilor back then.
Boston lost probably 10% of its population from the early 70s until 76 or 77. But we needed to ensure that those solid middle-class folks who worked for the city would live in the city.
So DeCara helped draft the city's residency requirements. After the Supreme Court affirmed in 1976 that the concept was legal, other cities, including Detroit, Denver, Cincinnati, and Chicago, also jumped on the bandwagon. By 1980, two-thirds of the country's large cities had residency requirements. But is that still the case today? After all, many American cities, Boston included, have been growing for years.
I expect we have a higher percentage of public employees in Boston today than we did before the ordinance. And the real question is, and it's a policy question, is does the ordinance make sense in the current era?
In America's largest cities, residency requirements are still pretty common. In New York, for example, employees must live in the city, though some can also live in one of six surrounding counties. And if you want to work for the Windy City, you have to live in the Windy City. But despite its outsized influence, Boston is not one of America's largest cities.
We're a very small city geographically, 47 square miles if you include the islands.
And when you compare Boston to more similarly sized cities, you find that we're a bit of an outlier. Denver and Baltimore did away with theirs years ago. Seattle's never had one. And in San Francisco, which, like Boston, is both bullish on the innovation sector and one of the most expensive cities in America, employees can live wherever they want. Now, DeCara points out that the requirements here today are not quite as strict as they used to be. That's largely because of longstanding opposition from unions.
Through the years, however, through the collective bargaining process, some of the residency issues were bargained away at the table. There also have been some state laws which have especially relating to police and fire, which trump the city ordinance.
For example, teachers and principals can now live anywhere, but school custodians and school police still have to live in town for at least 10 years. All told, around a third of the city's roughly 18,000 full-time employees live outside the city. Now, there's no shortage of arguments for and against this policy. Some are economic, others are philosophical. But perhaps the real question is whether it's time to once again have the debate. DeCara, for one, says that it is.
I think as a matter of policy, anything we voted upon in the 70s should be looked at. Regulation of cabs, hours of operation of licensed establishments, you name it, everything should be on the table, including this.
But with Mayor Walsh so quickly withdrawing his request to waive the requirement for some of his top officials, it doesn't look like that will be happening anytime soon. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
It's a hard life, working in the city. And it's a hard, hard way to try to get along. It's a hard life, working in the city. And it's a hard, hard way to try to get along. Short dollars will make a good man.